in her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
Steve on the Carbler's Talking text line has a theory of who he thinks the owner was that called Adam Schefter, as Schefter revealed to us here on the show. Again, catch up on the latest with our Adam Schefter conversation on the ESPN Wisconsin app. And Schefter said an owner, a random NFL owner, called him yesterday saying, hey, I think Jeff Hafley would be a good head coaching candidate for the open Giants job. And Steve on the Carpenter's Talking text line too, saying, I think he was a random Packers fan, and then in parentheses, owner that called.
That's good. That's very witty.
Yeah. So maybe Schefter's just taking calls from random Packer fans who are also owners of the franchise. But as great as Hafley has been, and everyone's going to agree, Hafley's been great. Defense has been great. Trying to figure out what the heck is wrong with this Green Bay Packers offense. And the Packers offense was a huge topic of conversation yesterday on ESPN television, specifically on the Pat McAfee Show and NFL Live. Dan Orlovsky, when he appeared on the Pat McAfee Show, here is what he had to say about what he thinks the Packers need to do offensively to try to get back to what their expectations are.
They got to rip the Band-Aid off Jordan Love. They got to rip the handcuffs off him. This ain't a Jordan Love thing, okay? I've talked about this offense and the offensive line not being good enough. That was once again the case a little bit. Some of the play calling, trying to be overly creative. When I watched Jordan last night, I'm sitting there going, this is why I hate the term when people talk about, in quarterback context, protect the football. Because I feel like the Packers for the last month offensively are in this, let's live in this protective world. And it even is impacting the way I feel like Matt's calling the game. You're not going to be great by living in this protection world. Jordan really hasn't been this, oh my gosh, he's careless with the football player for years now. It's this narrative that was a little bit of his early on, but the protective element is forcing him to play at times so gun-shy, so cautious. And I want to tell LaFleur, like, dude, you got to rip the Band-Aid off of this. Your defense is fantastic. Stop playing it so close to the vest. Stop playing it so shy. Stop getting this quarterback to be so cautious with the football.
So I think you had a different reaction when you heard that yesterday, Chu. But my reaction to that was, I thought of when you talked about your defense in 96. And I'm not saying this defense is as good as that one. Like that, you guys had a historically great defense.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a pretty damn good defense that that can cover up for a lot. And you have talked about in the past, especially, you know, in that 95, 96, 97, you know, when you guys went to three straight NFC Championship games, two Super Bowls, 1-1. You talked about how when Brett would throw an interception, that you guys would be like, oh, our defense has got us. Our defense has our back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, okay, so if Jordan is even a little careless with the football, which, again, the numbers prove out he is not, the interception numbers are down for him this season. Like, yeah, why don't they play a little bit more aggressively? And if they turn it over, who cares? Your defense has your back because this is a pretty good defense.
I would agree with some parts of that. Turn him loose. I don't think you can fully turn him loose because he makes bonehead plays at times, right? And if you turn him loose, then you run the threat of making more bonehead plays. And I don't think from a skill standpoint, without Tucker Kraft, I thought Golden would be farther along than he is. I just don't think they have the weapons. But Gabe, here's the thing, and I think, Josh, you put it in the text chain, on a 3rd and 10, why in the hell are you running play action?
Not because it worked.
Why are you running
third
play action?
3rd and 10, you know? Deep in your own territory.
In a two-minute situation.
In a two-minute drill. Yep.
It's just, why? That just doesn't make sense.
And then really the only play that worked that drive.
I looked at some more plays, and I looked at a handful of plays, and it was a balanced set. So you had two receivers on the – two on the right, two on the left. And there's just no rhyme or reason to what he's doing. Like, okay, when Holmgren would call a play – someone would have to influence a defender somewhere, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. Cover two, right? Cover two.
Which the Packers have seen
just
a lot
straight,
of.
Just straight cover two. If you're running four verts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we used to, it just called all go, right? And it's cover two. I know that the ball is going outside.
Correct. It's not coming to you.
It's going outside. It's got to go to either side.
But
okay, so that changes my way of thinking to now I have to influence that near safety to jump me to open up on the outside. I don't see any of that. Man to man, right? If it's man, I told it last week. I am 72X shallow cross, which was actually the play that Brett scored on in County Stadium to beat Atlanta. Man, my job is to rub the underneath route that is a crossing route.
Yeah.
Okay? He's got to set it up, and it has to time up where I influence that defender where he can't run parallel with him. Then he has to jump behind him. Mm-hmm. There's your throw. I just don't see any of that. I don't see creativity. I see, and
so
I think
Orlovsky
said
it,
it's almost too cute. So take the cuteness out of it.
So the criticism for Mike McCarthy at the end of his time was, hey, you just have to go out and win your one-on-ones, right? Like it felt like every route was almost independent. There wasn't a lot of combination routes, right, where you're working off of one another. It's just, hey, you got to go win your one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I hear you talking about what you are seeing, that's what I think of. It seems like there's not a lot of connectivity between the routes themselves in concert with the offense.
Exactly.
It's just like, hey, go win your one-on-ones.
See, what we would do, Gabe, is flood a zone, right? We would flood a zone and pick out a specific defender and put him in a bind, okay? And that defender has to make a decision between two receivers. Do I favor this receiver or do I favor this receiver? And then the quarterback has to adjust accordingly and make the throw. That's how we ran our offense, okay? I just don't see any of that. I mean, it can't be just win your route, okay? Because I've said it. Like Christian Watson, great deep threat, good against zone. He is not a great route runner. He's not a great route. So when you have man against him, I think he struggles, you know? Romeo Doubs, good route runner, not great, not Robert Brooks, but he doesn't have the speed to go over the tops of defenses. So they kind of have, like, if you could take them all and make one receiver, they'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, and I guess that's always kind of been my issue when it comes to this team, which is why I was so excited too for Matthew Golden, because it seemed like he kind of combined a lot of the things that some of these guys do into actually one player.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you watch New England Tampa Bay at all?
Yeah.
Sure did.
I mean, Abuka's. They did. You know, you talk about letting a guy just go. Abuka, they let go.
Well, and to me, that's what they have to do with when Matthew Golden is healthy. I think that's what they have to do with Golden. Like
I agree.
I think you just because you got to do something. You know, you can't. Well, this is going to be our yak guy. This is going to be our possession guy. This is going to be this guy, because then that gets too predictable. Where, Josh, I think Tausch should notice the same thing that you did from Monday night. Of why on earth are we continuously targeting the receiver that's being covered by Quinyon Mitchell? Like, Mitchell is potentially an All-Pro this year. In his second year, having a fantastic year, is it just obvious in every situation who the number one guy is going to be? And Quinyon's going, hey, I'm taking Wicks here. Hey, I'm taking Doubs here.
It certainly seems like that, and I think it'd be extensively hard to prove. But it does seem like...
Yeah, without Quinyon Mitchell going, hey, I know it's coming and this is what I did.
Right. Before, what I think is happening there, and it certainly must not have worked every single time, because what they did and what it seems like they did is, based on formation and the guys on the field, they were, to relative success, determine who the first target read was. So if the guy is likely to be the first read, that's likely going to be the guy who gets the ball most often. And what they were able to do based on... Well, probably you look in and you go, well, there's Bull Melton and there's Romeo Doubs. Who's it going to go to? Or there, you know.
But that goes back to, okay, if you don't trust Doubs running every route in the route tree, if you don't trust Christian Watson running every route in the route tree because he's not a good route runner, like, yeah, kind of be, oh, it's 3rd and 7. They like to have him run this route. Oh, here's probably what they're going to do.
I think it's the same thing that we saw happen with the 4th and 1 play. The Packers have very clear tendencies. Matt LaFleur has condensed his playbook, not only by formation, but by the guys on the field and what they're doing at situations, that it doesn't take a rocket scientist, and if you're grinding the film week in and week out, you can, with relative success, be like, well, the ball's probably going here because it's 3rd and 7, and this is the type of thing they like to do here. I mean, Ben Solak was able to put together how many times the Packers did that exact same inside zone to the right.
You know what I don't
like?
It
wasn't that he was able to put that together, Josh. It was the fact that he was able to put it together so quickly.
With ease.
I just don't like how they pigeonhole guys so much either. I mean, if Orlovsky, you want to cut someone loose, cut Golden loose. Now, Antonio Freeman, right, when he was young, he started at the slot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then he moved to the X. And then maybe in his third year, went to the Z. Right?
Well, he kind of went to the Z in his second year, didn't he, after Robert got hurt?
Was that his second year?
That was his second year.
No. Andre came in, Andre was still the Z.
Okay. But, I mean, so Free, despite missing like three or four games because of the broken, he still had over 900 yards.
Yeah, because Free was such a weird route runner, and weird in a good way. He had a wiggle. His wiggle was crazy, you know? I would see Golden right now is playing that slot position where if they're going to play man, everyone had an option route, right? So we had 4 verts. It would be, you know, double wing right, zebra personnel, all go Z option or zebra option or Y option or halfback option, you know? I mean, Josh Jacobs, if they're playing straight man on him, I'd take him against anyone. And all it is a Y option, a halfback option is over the middle of the ball, and he chooses where he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just simple stuff. Just keep it simple, stupid. It's not that hard. We're making it too difficult.
Speaking of keeping it simple, we'll try to do that with power rankings. Couldn't get to it yesterday. We were obviously busy reacting to the Packers game, but we can't skip Chewy's favorite segment of the week. Power rankings coming up next here on a Wendorf Wednesday, but it is back. Black Friday at the Ewald Automotive Group. It's their biggest event yet. You can shop vehicles with up to $10,000 off or 0% financing or zero down. They'll do whatever it takes to move all remaining 2025s. Their biggest savings of the year, lowest interest rates, maximum trade values, huge selection. Black Friday, it is back now at every Ewald location. With Ewald, you know it's going to be easy. They are going to take care of you, whether it's their sales staff, whether it's the service staff. I have trusted Ewald for over a decade. It's easy to see why Ewald's been doing this as long as they have here in southeastern Wisconsin. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN. Have you ever been close to
tragedy? Close to folks you have? It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group, they help people make their own big moves each and every day. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Make sure you're getting in touch with Tony Wendorf and Associates. Time to get to some power rankings.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right, we missed it yesterday. That's fine. It doesn't have the same juice when the pack is not in the top 10. You guys are smart enough to know they were 11 last week, and my guess is you wouldn't have guessed they would jump into the top 10.
After scoring 7 points, they weren't going to leapfrog into the top 10.
You want to tell me where they're at?
So they were 11 last week. I'm going to say they dropped to 13.
I said 14.
One spot to 12.
Oh, okay.
One spot to 12. Now, this list it's okay. There's a few things I don't agree with. Nothing major, but overall, it's a decent list. So, give me number 10.
At number 10, I will say, who is going to be at number 10?
This is a really hard one to figure out, how they're going to organize this. I just said Chiefs.
Bears?
The Los Angeles Chargers are 10.
Okay.
Are the Chargers another product of the West Coast and we're not that vested in them? I haven't watched a lot of Chargers football, but they did beat up on the Steelers.
Lots of injuries.
Good. Yeah, they're kind of up and down because of those injuries, especially their offensive line.
Yep.
Pretty good, though, right?
Yeah.
It's not... It's a team that I expect to make the postseason just because of who their coach is. And, like, Omarion Hampton's going to get healthy and come back for them. But that offensive line, like, their two best offensive linemen are out for the year. I don't expect them to make a lot of noise in the playoffs.
9.
9, I will say...
Is this Buccaneers?
Yeah, Bucs make the most sense here.
Denver Broncos are 9.
Oh.
That's one of the ones I thought they would be a little bit higher. Even though
I had them at 5.
Yeah.
Barely beat the Raiders 10-7. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're 8-2.
I know, they're 8-2.
Interesting.
You know what, 2? And they were 7 last week.
And they won, and they dropped 2 spots?
10-7, I understand that.
Sure, that's but like a Thursday night game, I guess, I always look at Thursday night games, Chew, and I know you didn't get to play in a lot of Thursday night games.
Yeah.
I just always look at Thursdays, especially when it's a divisional opponent. I don't care how they look, just win.
Just win, yeah.
Just win and move on.
Yeah, that was one of the blips where I thought they'd be higher. 8.
Is this the Bills?
So, man, that'd be a huge drive. They were number 1 last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because they beat the Chiefs?
Yeah. I don't think this is the Bills.
So the Bucs?
I'm going to say the Bucs. I'm going back to the Bucs well.
The Bucs are 8. I don't know what I took away from that game. Now, obviously, they're without Godwin and Evans, but I thought New England pretty damn good.
New England's really good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
At home?
I really like what I've seen out of New England.
What do you think about Tampa Bay when they get Godwin and Evans back? Make some noise, win one playoff game?
Maybe win a playoff game depending upon the matchup. Because, again, I keep looking at their numbers, too, and I know that they're beat up on offense, but they just don't add up. Like, all of their numbers in terms of points and yards on offense and defense point to them being a middle-of-the-pack team.
Well, that division is blah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One team coming out of there. 7.
I mean, I'm thrown off because I got to figure out who the heck I'm putting at 5 because Denver moved. I guess I'll move them to 5. I'm going to keep... I am going to say the Buffalo Bills.
That's where I'm going, Bills.
O'Brien D. That was a bad loss. That is what would I have called that? A letdown game or?
I think that would be a letdown.
That's a letdown, not a trap.
Correct. It was a letdown because you were coming off the high of beating Kansas City and then have the huge letdown.
The Bills cannot win the Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
I still don't know why. I mean, I guess because it's in the division, but there are rumors out there that they offered a first and a third for Jalen Waddle and. And the Dolphins said no.
Third?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins said no.
Their defense has been porous and their offense has been.
They're just missing weapons.
Blah.
They just don't have weapons.
6.
I am going to say.
I don't know if I have enough teams to fill out the rest of this that I think should be in the top 10.
Yeah. Well, you should. This is. I'm going to Detroit. I'm going to say Detroit.
What about the Patriots?
Detroit is 6.
All right. I feel good about my top 5 now.
They blasted the Commanders, but without Jane Daniels, that doesn't really mean too much.
What do you make of Campbell taking over the offensive play calling in Detroit?
Mm-hmm. Worked.
Fair.
Worked.
Well, but you always talk about how, like... Adding the play calling just adds another... He is so used to not having to do that and then having command of the rest of the game.
Yeah, but you know what, Gabe? This is a cutting it loose. This was John Morton, a little too conservative, a little trying to overthink things, to Dan Campbell just cutting it loose.
Yeah.
That was the difference. But I don't know, you know, sometimes that only works for so long. Cutting it loose.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they just get a little too loosey-goosey, and then that's where your turnovers come. So, five.
Patriots.
I will say this is where Seattle is.
Seattle Seahawks are five.
Did you miss out? You forget about Seattle?
No, I've got them ahead of them.
Oh, really?
I mean, that team keeps blowing the doors off teams in the first half.
I know.
they just jump out to 4 or 5 touchdown leads and then just say, yep, we're happy.
Have you guys watched them at all?
Yes.
Yes.
Josh,
have you? Yes.
I haven't watched them a lot.
They were dominant. How they got up so fast was a little fluky.
Yes.
Because they had two.
Here's the thing.
Two strip sacks returned for touchdowns.
They had two strip sacks returned, but then they scored on 3 consecutive offensive drives to start the game.
Again, I'm not taking away the dominant performance. I'm just saying that game was, they could have had a running clock halfway, if it was a high school game.
Yes.
And Tausch and I joked about this on primetime on ESPN Radio, that they could have had a running clock halfway through the second quarter because it was 35-0.
That's crazy. Old high school rules. All right, 4.
Patriots.
This is where I will go, New England.
New England is 4. I was very impressed playing the Buccaneers. But there's almost a little of like, all right, when's the little honeymoon going to end here?
I don't know if it's going to happen because of Drake May.
I wonder if that bubble's going to burst because he's a second-year quarterback, but it doesn't look like it is. It seems like they just have, and we talked about earlier with Shefty, like the marriage is perfect with the coach, the coordinator, and the quarterback.
I think they may. Drake May just may be here to take everything. He is just going to be the new guy.
You think so?
He's been that good.
Yeah, I mean, he made some really nice throws. Really nice throws.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have a feeling that they're going to.
I think their roster talent is a little deficient, and they're pretty thin at some positions. Like, that was the whole critique of them. I think they're probably walking a fine line.
This is a team that's going to be the 1 or 2 seed. But they're going to get upset by, like, Kansas City.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you
know
what?
He's a second-year player.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's going to happen to a guy.
But, I guess they played Buffalo. Because their schedule has been kind of easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's what happens when you go from one of the worst teams in the NFL the next year.
Yeah.
But the teams they have played, too, like, they've answered the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. 3.
Indy.
I had the Rams.
Indy. Indy. Who's better, New England or Indy?
I think
New England.
I think Indianapolis
really?
Is. I just like their play caller so much.
How
but
about
Daniel Jones' pumpkin season
Daniel
started,
Jones.
And that could be a problem.
But he also didn't play well in that game.
And they won.
And it didn't matter.
Right.
Because that's how good Jonathan Taylor is, which is why Jonathan Taylor should be the league MVP, but will never be the league MVP because the MVP is a quarterback award.
Is their D good?
It's good enough.
Good enough?
Good enough. Like, okay. That team, if Jonathan Taylor plays well, you're not going to beat him. It's just just how it goes.
2.
I will have Philly
Rams.
Here. Really? You think Philly's won?
Well, weren't they one last week?
No, the Bills were one last week. The Bills were one last week. I think the Rams are better than Philly.
I do too. Do they make the right move?
Who's going with what here?
I am saying Philly at 2.
I'm saying Rams.
Rams are at 2.
Wow.
Philly at 1, which I don't agree with. I don't think Philly's won. They were, I mean, their defense was very good, but their offense is still.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, which is why I think the Rams are up there. And I guess we'll see what this oblique injury is for Devontae. And they said he would have been fine and be able to play had they not been blowing out, who'd they play, Arizona?
Who's got the number one seed right now, Philly or the Rams?
Do you know? What's the question?
Who's got the bye if it ended today?
Philly. It's
Philly
Seahawks.
Seattle.
Philly, Seahawks, Detroit, Tampa, and Rams are wild card right now.
But the Rams and Seahawks play this week.
Yes. Yeah. That'll be a good game, huh?
If Devontae plays. If Devontae plays.
Okay.
Because, I mean.
All right.
Turns out Devontae can still play. If you've watched any Rams games, he just, everything that Devontae does, he's doing for them. And it's, then you just had Puka Nacua and
the
Matthew
Bears?
Stafford.
Where are the Bears?
11.
Yeah, 11.
14.
Wow, Packers still ahead of them.
Yeah, but they're creeping. Still not looking.
What do you mean you're not looking? We're looking up at them in the standings right now.
I'm not looking in the rear view mirror.
Yeah, because they're not in the rear view anymore, Jew. They're out in front. Hey, guys, if you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. If you have symptoms of low testosterone, you should be reaching out to Mentality, mentalityhealth.com/radio. And if you're unfamiliar with symptoms of low testosterone, maybe you have low energy and motivation, you've had that fatigue, you just feel like you're tired all the time, you have weight gain, muscle loss, especially some belly fat, but you just kind of don't feel like yourself. You have that anxious feeling, moody, irritable. All signs of low testosterone. The good news is Mentality can help. They focus on your free testosterone levels, which many doctors overlook, ensuring your treatment is tailored to your body. And that's what I love about using Mentality. I've been using Mentality for years now, and it is something that is personally customized to me. It's not just, oh, here, take this, and everybody will be fine. No, they customize. It's a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. And if you start using it, your energy comes back, the belly fat burns off, the muscle strengthens. But what I've noticed mostly, you start to feel like yourself again. You're confident-driven, ready to tackle life. And I've got long, busy days sometimes. I've got to come back here later tonight for some of the stuff I've got to do. And I feel like I've got the energy to be able to attack the day. You can feel that way as well. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be at your best for you and for your family. Just go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. mentalityhealth.com/radio to book your first appointment today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like,
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Make sure you're checking out Tony Wendorf and Associates. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. It seems like if you have been confused about the Packers, don't fear it. It feels like a lot of people have done that. Like Joe tweeting at me, Chewy, just a few minutes ago, Love has to be allowed to run this offense. The fear of interception is ridiculous. I feel like we don't really know who he is. Feast or famine, let's find out who he is. And trying to figure out what this offense is, who this team is, it's been confusing over the last couple of weeks. And when I was watching NFL Live yesterday, Marcus Spears was one of those people who's kind of confused about what's going on in Green Bay with the offense. But here's what he had to say about how the Packers can maybe turn their season around.
Like, the reality is Tucker Kraft is not coming back.
Correct.
And yes, you just lost Elton G. Like, so yeah. Either you, to your point, Dan, and I'm agreeing with you and Mina, become explosive, bro. This is almost like YOLO. Like, go for the gusto early in games, yeah, if you know that you have these issues.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to comprehend with us having this conversation. Because the way we talking about them and all of the issues, there's no path forward outside of you trying to create explosives.
Yeah. When you hear that, what does that resonate with you? I know they have these issues, Chew, and the lack of explosive plays can also be, you know, maybe they needed it more than a week to kind of figure out how to go forward without Tucker Kraft. But the offensive line's been a big issue, whether it's run blocking, whether it's pass blocking for the first time in a long time. But I kind of find myself agreeing with Marcus there of, who cares if you have these issues? Like, this whole conservative kind of turtling up thing, yeah, you've got injuries. Everybody's got injuries. Try to be a little bit more aggressive. And who cares if it fails? Because, well, being conservative and doing what you've done the last couple of weeks, that hasn't worked either.
No, it's just going up, you know, against the Giants. Giants have a good defensive front.
Their pass defense has been very good.
Yeah.
The run defense has been porous because the guys they have love to get after the quarterback and haven't settled in on how to stop the run at this point.
And the offensive line took a big hit, even though Jenkins wasn't playing great as a center. I mean, how much better do you feel as Sean Ryan plugging him in at center? And then they're
probably just as good, if we're being honest.
And then one injury away from bringing in I don't know who. So I agree. I mean, you don't have to go out and throw it deep at the beginning of the game four or five times. Just do the basics and stop being so cute and run things that guys are comfortable with, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Christian Washington's good at running an in route, well, let him run in routes. You know, do what guys do best. I mean, there's things I couldn't, I wasn't good at running. You know what Holmgren didn't do? Call it. He called things that I did best.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But go back to the basics. Stop trying to out-scheme every single week. And then just get into a flow. Offense is all about flow. It's like boxing. You know what I mean? You don't have to go for the knockout punch every time. Throw some jabs. Get the guy off balance. But, you know, a good offense, a good offensive coordinator has a flow to him. And you can kind of see after he does it what he's trying to accomplish. There hasn't been any flow. Everything just looks like a damn struggle out there. So maybe cut the game plan down. You don't have to have so many plays. Just do what.
But I don't feel like he does. Like I feel like they should expand the play, but maybe not expand the playbook and at least expand it formationally. You know, because you have talked about at length, Chu, about how you guys wouldn't necessarily add to the playbook every week, but you would run the same plays out of a different look.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, it was crazy, Gabe. I mean, I saw a lot of the same stuff Philly ran on Monday. I'm like, yep. We were used to run that all the time. Simple as pie. It's all a progression. It was, you know, and I'll tell you the play. I think they ran it twice. It was trips with a single receiver one side, pre-snap read. All it is it's called spacing on the backside. That's when they caught early in the game a couple of those easy first downs. And you're like, well, why is that so easy? Because they're taught. Pre-snap read. Okay, I'm not going to the single receiver. But I still have to look over there to give these guys time to run their routes. And it was simple. He went bing, and then you go bing, 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 and throw it to one of them.
With all this talk, though, about the passing game, I am fearful we are not going to see that this week because the Giants are 31st in the league in rushing yards allowed, and they are 32nd in yards per carry. They are allowing opponents to rush for 5.5 yards per carry.
Yeah, so you know what,
and it's pretty obvious that clearly the only person on offense that Matt LaFleur, but everybody else, I think you could debate. And I know, you know, some people have made fun of this station for saying, "Oh, does he trust Jordan Love?" Like, I don't know if he does or not. I do know one thing: I know Matt LaFleur trusts Josh Jacobs because he gives the ball to him a ton, and I feel like he's just going to continue to run the ball this week because they can. And we're not going to get into any of this other stuff that we're talking about of, hey, be aggressive, try to create these explosive plays, try to develop some of these deeper things that are going to make you aggressive. I think he's just going to go back to running the football because, the Giants can't stop it.
Well, that's fine. If they can't stop it, but Gabe, what's the first team a team does when they're getting gashed against the run?
Bring a safety up.
Bring a safety. And you know what you can only do if you bring a safety up? You can only play some version of cover three. So you develop routes to attack cover three. And you know what else works real well? If you're running the ball well early?
Play action.
Something called play action pass. Not on 3rd and 10, you know.
Not on 3rd and 10 in an obvious passing situation. In a 2-minute drill.
And that's the flow. It's like, shh. Oh, I was close, Josh. It's like, keep that defensive coordinator on his toes and keep him guessing. It's just like they have to get into a flow where everything just feels good. And with the flow, you're going to have bad plays. You're going to have drops. You're going to have misreads and things like that. But at least you kind of know what you're trying to accomplish. I don't know. Just these last 2 weeks, everything just feels like
it's hard.
Like you got a tire on your back.
Yeah.
With a rope attached to your hips. It's just like, just doesn't feel flowy. I love flowy.
Yeah, Flowy's, I know. You're a big fan of flowy.
Used to have flowy hair. Used to have flowy clothes.
Yeah,
now I got a flowy gut.
You don't have a flowy. You never had flowy clothes.
Oh, that was in back in the day. Don Johnson look. The Don Johnson look. You kidding me, Gabe?
Did you ever wear bell bottoms?
Huh?
Did you ever wear bell bottoms?
No, but I used to dress in all white. Maybe with pink t-shirt and things like that. You know, when a convertible, when it just all flows. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you picture it?
No, because again, like, you're a bigger guy. And when you're a bigger guy like you are, like, your clothes can only be so flowy. and like loose on you.
You know what? Even if it looks bad, if you're confident, this is what this offense needs. Flowy. Just be confident in what you do. People are going to laugh at you. So what?
And honestly, the number of times I saw Jordan Love kind of think he saw something and then kind of hold up and then go, oh, I actually should throw that and throw it. It happened too many times.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Where he just kind of like, oh, yeah, I can throw that. Instead of just letting it rip.
That's what happens when 42% of the pass plays you're under duress.
Yeah.
You know?
That kind of can lead to a lot of those different things.
Gabe, that's called seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
Don't see ghosts.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing to get rid of.
Yeah.
Like, once you start seeing it, I think that's a tough thing to get rid of. It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But guys, I am telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did a handful of years ago when I was ready to propose to my wife. Now, I kind of had an idea. I went to the website, shoptjc.com, found a couple of rings that I liked, went in person, saw the rings before I finally pulled the trigger on the one I wanted. But if you don't have an idea, go to our Pinterest page, see if there's anything there. And then the helpful team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together at the Jewelry Center, always going to point you in the right direction. Whether it's a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Check them out online, shoptjc.com, or stop it in person, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington.
Adam Schefter joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every Wednesday. And he is brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It is a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee. With everything you like to do in one awesome location, visit islandresortandcasino.com to book your total experience today.
Well, Josh is letting us know that Island Resort and Casino brings us those conversations with Adam Schefter. He had something very interesting to say earlier today about Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. Go ahead and take a listen to what Schefty had to say.
Well, you know what? You raised a great point. And let me say this right now. I believe Jeff Hafley is going to be an NFL head coach. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I believe right now, if we're going to stretch this out further, it's funny. Somebody called me yesterday, an owner of an NFL team. And they said to me yesterday, they go, hey, who are the Giants going to hire as a head coach? And I said, I don't know right now. I don't know if they know. And he goes, do you have any names that you think could be on the radar? And I said, one name that I think is interesting here, and this is what I said to him, is Jeff Hafley, considering his jersey ties. And he goes, I'm so glad you said that. I was calling to tell you that Jeff Hafley would be an amazing choice for the Giants. And I just want you to know that. Random owner. Wow. Okay.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. I think we got to get used to the idea, Chew, of Jeff Hafley potentially not being here in Green Bay after this season.
Could he be the hot? Could he be the Ben Johnson? I mean, I think at times we get blinded by the offensive side of the ball. But I mean, if they continue to play like they do, could he be the Ben Johnson of last year?
I think it's going to be tough for somebody on the defensive side to replicate that, Chew, to your point of us being really just as fans of football, like obsessed with the offensive side of things.
Yeah.
And again, it's always tough. If you're a team that has a young quarterback you want or are going to be drafting a young quarterback, you want to have the consistency of having that play caller be linked to your quarterback for a long period of time. And when you're a defensive guy like Hafley, it's just tough because if you hire an offensive coordinator and they have success with that young quarterback, then they're going to be gone because they're going to be a head coach. But I think Hafley can be one of the hottest names, certainly. I think that is something that can be true. Interesting text from our friend Josh in Heartland on the Carbless Talking text line. I feel as though Green Bay has two different offenses, the Josh Jacobs offense, the Jordan Love offense, and they don't complement each other very well. I think something to think about going into the show tomorrow. We'll continue to talk about the Packers. Wildy and Tausch, they're going to keep on talking about the Packers. Coming up next.